When Edmund Burke published Reflections on the Revolution in France in 1790, few could have predicted its enduring impact. As the French Revolution was just beginning to unfold, this Irish-born British statesman penned what would become not just a critique of contemporary events, but a profound meditation on the nature of society and governance that resonates across centuries. The book sold an astonishing 30,000 copies in its first 2 years, a publishing phenomenon for its time. What made Burke's work so powerful wasn't merely its eloquence, but its uncanny prescience about where revolutionary fervor might lead. Why does a political treatise from the 18th century still command our attention? Burke's insights transcend their historical moment. He recognized something fundamental about human nature and society that revolutionary idealists missed, that societies are complex, organic entities that cannot be dismantled and rebuilt according to abstract principles without catastrophic consequences. Margaret Thatcher carried his book in her handbag. Philosophers from across the political spectrum acknowledge its depth, and anyone watching the unfolding of subsequent revolutions throughout history can see Burke's warnings play out with tragic regularity. Burke's critique stems from his understanding of human nature. Politics must account for history's miseries brought upon the world by pride, ambition, avarice, revenge, lust, sedition, hypocrisy, ungoverned zeal, and all the train of disorderly appetites. These passions don't vanish in new political systems, they simply find different expressions. He viewed the French Revolution as dangerous for embodying Hobbesian theory, the idea that society could be dismantled and rebuilt from first principles. Revolutionary concepts like rights of man, when detached from constituted authority, could spread across borders like contagions, threatening stable governance. Liberty, when men act in bodies, is power, Burke warned. Freedom exists not in philosophical treatises, but in lived community experience. True liberty must combine with government, morality, property rights, and social order, not exist as mere abstraction. Liberty resembles a delicate plant, requiring specific conditions to flourish, balanced with other social goods, and supported by evolved institutions that protect individual rights while maintaining cohesion. Burke's perspective carries weight through his record as a defender of liberty, advocating for American colonists, opposing East India Company excesses, and supporting religious tolerance. History has validated Burke's concerns with remarkable precision. He predicted revolutionary France would become a manically expansionist power, incompatible with conventional diplomacy, precisely what occurred under Napoleon. He also anticipated how later revolutions would attempt to remake entire societies upon a theory. The parallels between the Jacobins and 20th century totalitarian regimes are striking. Communist governments, like French revolutionaries, used public virtue to suppress private virtues and traditional social bonds. The National Socialist regime, while rejecting the revolution's egalitarianism, embraced its audacity in restructuring society and its ferocity against resistance. The Third Reich emerged as history's most far-reaching attempt to reconstruct society based on racial hygiene theory, culminating in the Holocaust. Though Hitler despised universalist theories, he applied ideological dogma with unprecedented brutality. The Bolshevik Revolution, National Socialism, and Mao's Cultural Revolution all confirmed Burke's warnings, demonstrating the devastating human costs of theory-based social reconstruction. Yet the revolutionary impulse continues to resurface in different forms. Burke recognized something profound about French Enlightenment philosophers, their capacity for religious-like fanaticism despite secular claims. These atheistic fathers have a bigotry of their own, he observed, and they have learned to talk against monks with the spirit of a monk. What Burke identified was modern ideology, thought systems that become as dogmatic as religious doctrine. He argued that unlike England's independent freethinkers, French philosophers had formed a core that systematically spread influence through salons, academies, and publications. This pattern repeats throughout history. Movements that begin by challenging dogma often create equally rigid new orthodoxies. From Robespierre's cult of the supreme being to Stalin's dialectical materialism to market fundamentalism, ideological certainty breeds intolerance. Ironically, Burke wasn't immune. As the revolution descended into terror, his discernment faltered. His praise for Barwell's conspiracy tract revealed that while critiquing Enlightenment excess, Burke developed blind spots, failing to see how reactionary thinkers could commit similar ideological excesses. While France became notorious for constitutional instability, spawning the political science joke about French constitutions being periodical literature, the American constitutional experiment succeeded remarkably. Seven crucial factors explain this American success. First, the Philadelphia Convention met in complete secrecy for months, shielding delegates from populist pressures, unlike the French National Assembly that operated like comedians of a fair before a riotous audience. Second, American framers arrived largely uninstructed by their states, enjoying freedoms French deputies with community grievances, cahiers, lacked. Third, Americans proposed a constitution requiring ratification through specially elected conventions, providing legitimacy France's constitution never achieved. The American framers also benefited from a decade of state constitutional experimentation, helping them recognize past mistakes like excessive legislative supremacy at the expense of executive power. Their willingness to compromise, exemplified by the Great Compromise on senatorial representation, contrasted sharply with the French revolutionaries' rigid ideological approach. Burke questioned the seemingly natural relationship between democracy and rational social science emerging from the French Revolution. The revolutionaries embraced what he saw as a naive belief in human reason as their new government's foundation. Burke understood that human nature includes both biology and a second nature we call culture. Society creates diversities according to birth, education, professions, periods of lives, residence. Wise legislators recognize this complexity, while planners treat humans as interchangeable units. Modern bureaucracies often reduce people to numbers and categories, exactly what Burke warned against. He cautioned that stripping away evolved characteristics would create a new tyranny, reducing citizens to loose counters merely for simple telling. Without intermediate associations, citizens would be naked before the state, causing society to decay into the dust and powder of individuality. By the late 20th century, critics across the political spectrum echoed Burke's arguments. Vietnam War planners with prestigious degrees approached warfare through mathematical modeling while ignoring Vietnamese history, just as the National Assembly had ignored French traditions. Both failed by disregarding history and human complexity. Burke's enduring value lies in advocating for prudent reform that respects accumulated wisdom in existing institutions. He rejected both implacable conservatism and uninhibited radicalism, favoring reform that preserves valuable parts of established systems while carefully integrating new elements. Society resembles a cathedral built over centuries, each generation adding while respecting previous work. Burke demonstrated this approach by supporting Catholic emancipation and opposing the slave trade without destabilizing society. This balanced middle path explains why gradual reforms like Britain's evolution toward democratic governance often prove more durable than revolutionary upheavals. Effective reform requires understanding existing institutions, assessing consequences, and recognizing that social change should be evolutionary rather than revolutionary. In our polarized age, Burke and wisdom reminds us that genuine progress requires both moral vision and practical wisdom. Sustainable change comes from careful improvements that build upon rather than destroy what came before.